Well, today we're featuring the Boston Marathon Jimmy Fund Walk, which is coming up this Sunday, October 6th. And Brian Wilinski of Quincy is joining us today to tell us about why he's got involved in this and how you might be able to as well. So Brian, nice to meet you, first of all.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity to talk, number one, about this walk, but number two, about your personal story as to how you got involved in it. 19 years now, right?
Yes. Yeah. I've been involved for 19 years. My mother was first diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2004. I started participating in the walk in 2005. And then I met some folks along the way, and we started our own team. Because of our ties specifically to ovarian cancer. My mother since passed in 2013, so it's been 11 years since she passed. But once again, you know, along the way and along this journey, we've met people who've lost loved ones, who have joined our team that are currently fighting this evil disease, and now, you know, also have ties to other people who've been recently diagnosed. And Dr. Ursula Matulonis, who's the head of gynecological research at Dana-Farber, she's world-renowned, and she walks with us every year. So all of our funds are earmarked specifically to ovarian cancer research, whereas other funds in the Jimmy Fund Walk go to general cancer or other types of cancer. So we like to think of it as we do our part by specifically making sure that these funds are allocated to that fund.
Sure, as a tribute to your mom, first of all, right? But then to the survivors who are currently going through it.
Yes.
What's your team? What's the name of your team?
It's called the Ovarian Cancer Brigade.
There you go.
The brigade came along. My co-captain, Ellen Caliendo, and I were trying to figure out a name from the beginning. Brigade sort of has this... in the UK, they say fire brigade.
Ah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
So we came up with that. It sounds like a bit of a troop or of warriors, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we usually have, we've had up to, I'd say, 50 some odd people in 1 year on the team. This year, we've got close to 25.
Okay.
It kind of alters every year. It depends on, you know, if there's a specific person we're rallying around or someone in their family, pull in family members, or somebody who might be sick at the time. But steadily, you know, 25 people.
Yes, yeah. And you've been very successful financially, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yes,
yeah.
So when we founded the team, we made a commitment to Dana-Farber to raise $100,000 in 5 years.
Okay.
And then after a year or two, maybe three, we were already up to close to $200,000.
Wow.
So we've been going ever since. I'd say each year we average maybe 50,000, but there's years where we've hit 60, 70. There's years where we've hit 40 some odd.
Sure.
So it all kind of averages out, but we're now over 800,000, probably 850. And we're definitely not stopping. I'm not sure when we're gonna stop, but we have our sights obviously set on $1 million.
Sure, yeah. How are you doing so far this year?
This year, we set a goal. It started, I think, at 40,000 because we didn't know how many people were going to join.
Yep.
And then, you know, days go on, weeks go on, people start raising money, donations come in. We get some more sizable donations, too, from, you know, a couple foundations or a former CEO at my former company, you know, gives me $2,000 from his fund. So we are now at, we've already surpassed our goal this year. So 50,000 was our goal. We're at 55,000. I set the limit now to 60,000.
Yeah.
And Ellen, my co-captain, I kind of did it without her discretion, without her permission.
Uh-huh.
I said, all right, let's up it now again. So, you know, I think we're going to go over 60,000 this year too.
Wow, that's amazing.
We're in the top eight right now out of, I think it's, you know, 500, 600 teams.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We usually finish in the top 20. Some teams have, you know, more people than 25. They have up to 50 people.
Sure.
And
yep,
once their fundraising minimums kick in, if they didn't really raise anything, that the minimum to raise is $330 per person. So once those kick in, sometimes those teams tick ahead of us. But it's all in the spirit of friendly competition. We even sort of friendly compete among or among members of our team, and just kind of watch who's making how much. But that really isn't what it's important. I mean, if I have somebody on my team and they've joined for the very first time and they raise $350, it's wonderful,
right?
Yeah. Right? There's strength in numbers.
Yeah. Have you seen, you know, over the years that you've been doing this, Brian, progress in ovarian cancer research?
Yes. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of progress that's been made. Treatments, experimental treatments. We have our walk hero. Her name is Linda Jobeck. I believe she was diagnosed also in 2004. She's, I think, a 20-year survivor. I hope I'm saying that right.
Okay.
And she's going to be walking with us that day. So is her husband, Joe. We see them a couple times a year. And she's been able to, they've been able to navigate these treatments for her. And then when one treatment finally runs its course and stops working, all of a sudden there's another clinical trial and she's on another treatment and she's able to push through it. Of course, not without side effects.
Yeah.
And, you know, it certainly takes a toll on your body, on your mental state, you know, everything like that, emotional.
And your family,
your
too.
Your family,
right?
You know. So we're really, all of us are really on this for the journey based on people that we know and that we love or loved. And I kind of joke sometimes because I really wish I never met any of the people on my team, because that would have meant that we didn't have this this illness in our lives.
Right.
But we do, and we persevere every year and face it head on. And Ursula, Dr. Ursula Matalonis, keeps us posted on all the progress she's making with these treatments. Just a couple statistics on ovarian cancer. There's 300 women that are 300,000 women a year. Are diagnosed globally.
Wow. Globally.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So in the U.S., there are 20,000 women per year diagnosed. And it's not out of those, but 13,000 women per year pass away from this disease. It's accounts for more deaths than any other cancer of the female reproductive system.
Really?
Yes. It's linked also to breast cancer as well.
Yes.
The genetic makeup.
Okay.
I don't know all the science of it, but you know, what I say to anybody is, if you have an important woman in your life, we all have a mother, grandmother, sister, friend, wife, and child, and you know, encourage them to get regular checkups. The symptoms of this disease are very, very, very quiet. Many people say it whispers, loss of appetite, bloating, sometimes an unexplained weight loss. There's some other symptoms, but unfortunately with this disease, it's diagnosed often in its very late stages.
I see. Yeah.
It's already advanced, and that is what happened with my mom. Although she did survive for 9 years, you know, off and on she had recurrences of this disease, and then the last couple of years were very, very debilitating. She passed away just short of her 70th birthday. Yeah. But the last 2 years, you know, we saw it take a very, very debilitating course.
Yes.
That isn't how it goes with everyone.
I mean,
sometimes people go fast. Sometimes people survive for many years.
Yeah.
Cancer has a mind of its own, any kind of cancer.
Do you know, are there screenings for ovarian cancer like there are for endometrial breast cancer?
It's called the CA-125 test, and CA-125, women should ask their gynecologist about it, but it's not something that's a standard, okay, we're coming in for my physical,
you have to ask
take
for
the
it.
Blood test.
Okay.
You either have to ask for it or push for it or push for answers.
Okay.
If the doctor is not understanding, if you're not feeling well and you're having some of these symptoms, if your doctor isn't suggesting this, you definitely should try to ask about it.
Okay.
Like I said, so September was Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. That actually coincides well with our fundraising, because the majority of our fundraising happens in the lead up to this walk, which is coming up.
Sure. Yeah. Again, as I mentioned, it's the Boston Marathon Jimmy Fund Walk. This is their 36th annual, actually, October 6th. There are four separate walks, right?
Yeah, you can take whatever course you want. Okay. I mean, I do all 26 miles.
So you do the marathon.
I do. Course, and hats off to anyone who runs the Boston Marathon because, I mean, when you walk the marathon, you're thinking in your head, wow, people run this.
Yes.
How amazing of a feat, you know?
Yes.
This one has its challenges. You definitely have some aches and pains the next day.
Right.
You hurt a little bit. Of course, nothing in comparison to people that are going through treatment. They're facing this disease.
Right.
So there's a walk of a full marathon.
Yep.
There's a half marathon that leaves from Wellesley.
Okay.
There's a 10K.
Yep.
And then there's a 5K that goes from, I think it starts at the Dana-Farber.
Right at the Longwood Medical Campus.
Yeah, Longwood Medical. And that one, you know, very emotional, right? You certainly see patients that are walking, children. every year, right, you get to the finish line and you see a child that you know is undergoing treatment and you see their families, and that makes it all worth it.
Yes.
You can't imagine what they're going through.
Can children, young girls, get ovarian cancer?
I think there was once a story of a teenager, late teens,
really?
That passed away, but generally, it is older women, but I know of a case right now of somebody in her mid-40s, you know, that has it. So Dana-Farber in general, though, is and the Jimmy Fund is pediatric and adult cancers as well.
Yes.
But that's really one of the more gripping things you see that day.
I would think,
for sure.
So does your whole team do the marathon walk?
We have... I'd say maybe like six or seven of us do the full thing, and then some do the half.
Okay.
And then some do less. We really try to have a picture at the end, right? We try to coordinate the times of when you're going to see each other. We actually have a stop, team stop at the Paparazzi restaurant in, I think it's in Wellesley, a little more than halfway into the route. You know, we hand out water bottles.
Sure, sure.
Of course, just more visibility for our team. Yes. Obviously, we want to recruit people. In the future, for the future, we have people bring their little dogs and all that.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, high visibility along the route. You will see the teal shirts as well. But all these teams, I mean, there's thousands of people that do this walk, and they some really creative teams, a lot of great spirit.
A lot of Quincy folks, right, this year?
Yeah, there are. I think it was 39 the last we checked. I'm assuming probably 40 by the time this weekend comes, and you know, so Quincy is well represented, and you know, you meet people too. You meet people every year. You hear their stories along the way. Sometimes you're talking during the walk.
Right.
Sometimes people have their headphones on. They don't want to talk. They just want to keep going.
Sure.
But it's one of my favorite days of the year, to
really?
Be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, we're up at I'm in Boston by 5 a.m. to catch the bus out to Hopkinton.
Okay.
It's pitch black out. Nobody's on the roads. And you take this long bus ride, and once again, you meet people, and people start talking, and you hear their stories. It's very emotional.
I would think it can be
emotional, depending on the year, too, depending on who you know that's facing this or who is in the hospital.
Right.
You know, that's one of the parts of the walk that... it's an unfortunate reality. You know, we meet people along the way that are sick, but it pushes us to keep going and do this and keep raising money every year. We even did this, you know, COVID.
Is that right?
The year of COVID, it was two straight years.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer doesn't stop during COVID. It didn't stop at all. And the Dana-Farber was wonderful. The Jimmy Fund Walk organizers, they did a, you know, virtual walk, right? So walk in your own neighborhood, wear your shirt, raise your money. And we pushed through that. It was great, finally, to be able to once again do this in person.
How long does it take to walk the marathon route, Brian?
Yeah, so we leave about 6 a.m.,
okay.
and we get to the finish line. It's at the Boston Common this year. It used to be at Copley. Maybe 2:15 p.m.
Okay.
You don't really stop. You stop to go to the bathroom.
So
you stop to get a snack.
Yeah.
They have a stop where they hand out, you know, sandwiches for lunch.
Sure.
But you don't really, you don't want to stop. If you stop and sit still or sit on the ground.
You got to stiffen up, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. And it's funny because, you know, 20 some odd miles into the walk, you hear people start to, oh, my knee hurts, or my hip hurts, or they have blisters. Everyone's got different sort of effects from this. People that are in great shape and that run have done this walk with me before, avid runners, and they actually end up having to jog some of it because your body just starts to tell you after a while, you've walked 7-8 miles, it's finally telling you, why aren't you running?
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not a runner, but I try to you know, at the gym ratchet things up a little bit.
Sure.
In the weeks leading up to the walk.
How do folks support this walk and your team in specifically?
Yeah. So yeah. I have the link which we'll put up.
Yes.
You can make a donation to the Ovarian Cancer Brigade.
Okay.
You can make a donation to me. It doesn't really matter because it's all going, you know, to this specific fund. It's the Dr. Ursula Matalonis Ovarian Cancer Research Fund.
Okay.
And then, you know, if you want to make a general donation to Dana-Farber and to the Jimmy Fund Walk, there's the website. It's very easily findable. Again, we can put that up too. And you know, you could donate online. There's really no minimum of donations too.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm at about 8,600 now on my own.
Personally?
That I've raised.
Yep. Okay.
And I'm hoping to hit, I'd say 9,500. That's my goal. We post pictures during the day along the walk,
sure.
Right? And then you keep posting your link. I was telling you before, I post a picture of my dog and my cat, right? with the shirt, right? And I put it all over my social media. I'm sure people by the end of this walk have seen many, many, many of my posts about this. I thank people publicly on my social media pages for their donations, and that just brings in more donations. And then, again, the day of the walk, people take pictures along the route, and it generates more and more donations. I believe last year the walk in its entirety raised $9.4 million.
It's amazing.
I don't know what the goal is this year. It's either 9, maybe 10. It's the single largest one-day cancer fundraiser in the United States. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about globally, I think, but I know in the United States it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add right now?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, I'm thrilled to be part of this. Every year, you know, we have the Boston Marathon itself, and then you have the Pan Mass Challenge comes up in the summer, and you know, you see people asking for donations for that. I just think Boston in general is people really open up their pocketbooks and their wallets to help out. There's so many, you know, worthy causes, and this is just kind of a staple of what happens in the fall. It's part of my life now. It's going to be until my legs give out, until we find a cure.
Right.
I think we all kind of joke about that with each other, is there's no end to this. We're not going to stop, you know, until there's a cure. And we have seen some really good advancements. So there is progress, but there's still so much more to go. And I'm not a doctor and I'm not a researcher, but I sure as hell can raise funds. And I can mobilize the people around me on my team and in my friend sphere and my family sphere to put money towards this cause.
Yep. Well, we wish you the very best again this year. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
You're very welcome. Our pleasure. And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.